Good morning, church. So Josh is telling us to be ready for next Sunday, be prepared. So you might want to catch an extra hour of sleep. Just don't do it now during the service here. Okay? You wouldn't think that an hour adjustment would throw us off as much as it does, but it's been known to happen. Yep. We are today in the book of Joel, 29th book of the Bible, and Joel is a prophet about 825 B.C. Is the time frame in which he is there. This Joel that we read about here is not mentioned anywhere else in any scripture. There are other Joels that are mentioned, but it is not this one. And he writes, and he's telling them, there's just three short chapters here. And usually, if we're going to make reference out of the book of Joel, we're going to reference chapter 2. So that's why we're not going to go from there today, because usually that's where we do focus on, is the Joel chapter 2. It will be mentioned. That's not what we're going to be sharing out of. And so in Joel, he's given a cry out to the nation of Israel, specifically the southern portion of the kingdom, to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, because he's telling them that a disaster is about to take place, that some bad times are coming. And he's telling them that a dark, destructive cloud of locusts are heading your way. This plague is a result of terrible sin, and God is bringing this upon the nation. The message that Joel shares is that is also preached by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, and it too is brought in sense of giving a warning to the enemies of Jesus Christ that they will be destroyed. The name Joel or Yoel in the Hebrew means Yahweh is God. It is always good to see that reminder in this book. All through it is that God is Lord. We need to remember that. We know that Joel was a prophet. Some believe that he was also a priest. In no uncertain terms, we know that he was definitely a preacher of clear, concise, and uncompromising in his message. And his message for the people in Joel chapter 2, with destruction coming, is about repentance. And I think that's why Peter used this in the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, is because Peter too was bringing a message of repentance leading to salvation. Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is going to be our text for the day. We're going to be taking a look at this. Here it says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants in the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and tell your sons to tell their sons, and their sons the next generation." As Coop pointed out in his Sunday school class, many times we like to go with 3 points. Can you guess how many we got today? 3 points. 3 points that we're going to look at here through this text that at least jump out to me, and things that are applicable to us today as the church, as if Joel was just changing it from the nation of Israel or the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and he was now going to preach it to the church. I think the three things that he was telling them work for us and need to be applied to our life. And it starts off with the first one here is listen carefully. Listen carefully. Can we do that? Listen carefully. Sometimes we like to listen and we listen carelessly. Have we ever done that? We listen carelessly? Somebody asks you a question and before you're even done giving an answer, they run off and they're like, "Oh, well, I know what you're going to say." Do you? because they're listening carelessly instead of listening carefully. And the Lord here is having Joel tell the people, now listen carefully. Which one of us here has ever had someone look us square in the face? Right? Maybe it's been when we're younger. Maybe it's when we're older. They look right into our eyes, maybe even pointing a finger back and forth right at you, and they say, now you listen to me. Now, I'm 46 years old, and I never quite understood why you had to look at someone to be able to listen to them. I still don't understand that. But it does help, does it not? We tell our kids that. Now you listen to me. Now listen here, and you'll say, now look at me, listen to what I say. And then by yet doing that, we're pointing at our eyes, watching each other. And so I think what we're trying to do is heighten our senses so that if we're more engaged in what we're focused on, then we're going to listen clearly. We're going to listen carefully. Well, so whatever that reason may be, we see that the Lord wanted for Joel's message to be heard by everyone. Joel's message first goes out to the elders of the land, and then to all of those in the land. I don't think anything's changed from their day to our day. The message is first told to the elders and then to the rest of the people in the land. Why is that? Because if you ask our elders here, even here, one of their responsibilities, they may not get up here and give them the sermon every Sunday, but their responsibility is make sure that the message is given. And we see that, that's one of the responsibilities that the elders had in Joel's day, and there's no doubt that it's the same today. The elders from the church here just don't let anybody jump up just willy-nilly and bring a message and get up front and say whatever they want to say. It's not open mic night. You know, we have learned a thing or two through the years, and I remember back several years ago at CCYC one night. I don't even know how it happened. I was trying to think how it all happened. But you ever realize that you get into something and then after it's done, you're like, that was not good. That was not good. Well, anyway, it ended up, and those that know Mike Roberts from, or actually it was Mark Roberts from Bronson, which if you've ever seen Mike, you've almost seen Mark, because they are twin brothers. But and so as you look at them, so Mark's up front, and I don't know, for one, I don't know why what possessed us to give him a microphone in the first place. But anyway, so he had a microphone, and it kind of turned in, it was during our talent portion of our program, and it turned into where he was letting kids, you know, talk and say things, and I don't know if they were telling jokes, and they were, well, anyway, some disgruntled young girl got up there, and she had already sang a Taylor Swift song earlier that evening on all the haters and people that she couldn't stand and everything else. And then to top that all off, he hands her the microphone and she starts like naming names on people from the stage. And so I like look and I look at and I jump up and we run. And I just remember as Mark grabs the mic from her, And I grab the mic from Mark. He looks at me and goes, well, I had no idea what she was going to say. And I'm like, exactly. That's why we don't do that. And it's the same way when somebody gets up to bring a message that you just don't let them get up. Well, I had no idea what they were going to say. And so we try to be careful with that. But have you ever noticed when you really want for someone to dig in and hear something that is said, nobody wants to pay attention, right? But then on the other hand, when something is said that you hope, boy, I hope nobody was paying attention to that, right? I hope that nobody heard that, right? I had no idea that's what she was going to say. Guess what? Everyone in the building heard it loud and clear. All right, and so as we look at that, it's just, oh my goodness. And so the Lord wants for us, and he's telling the prophet Joel here to listen carefully. Tell the people to listen carefully. There's a passage out of Proverbs that kind of goes along with this. Proverbs 19:27 says this. Actually, it's off the English Standard Version as well. It says, cease to hear instruction. my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. And so when it says to listen carefully, there's a reason why we say, listen carefully, watch, look, listen. We want you to pay attention. We want for your senses to be heightened. We want for you to really get this. We want for you to really grab this. If you're not going to pay attention to anything else, pay attention to this. That's what he's saying. Listen carefully. Joel wanted for the Israelites to listen carefully. Why is that? Because the message of God is important. And this is his message to them, that God is Lord. That God is Lord. If we're going to get any theme, and Josh kind of mentioned that already this morning, if we're going to get any theme from today's message and song service, is that God is Lord. That he is Lord. And he is going to be that whether you acknowledge it or not. But I would just pray and throw out there that I hope that you come to that realization on your own, while you still have life and breath to praise him, to glorify him, rather than waiting till the end, and you're going to have to do it anyway. So let's do it when we can still give him glory. But remember, God is Lord. Listen carefully. Pay attention. Dig in deep. Really, really turn on your thinking caps and listen to what is being said and listen carefully. And he's got a very short book, very small lesson. But it's all about this. And I believe it's good for 10-year-olds all the way up to 110-year-olds. And if you live beyond that, you too. And here's the message. And we already mentioned it. Repentance is necessary. Repentance is necessary. It's an absolute must. And as we go through several of the other books, the prophets, it's the same way. They preach repentance. Why is repentance preached throughout the Old Testament? Why is repentance preached throughout the New Testament? Why should we listen carefully to this? As Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he's preaching the sermon, telling them, reminding them, remember what they only said 50 short days earlier. May his blood be upon us and our children. Right? That's what they'd said. And he says, you know what? You got your wish. You guys here that nailed him to the cross. Listen carefully. Now is the time to change things. And that's when they said, and then, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. How did they know to repent? Because they were listening carefully. Listening carefully. Number two on the list, as we look through that first chapter this morning, not only listen carefully, but hey, check this out. Check this out. Rick was talking about famous last words, and it kind of reminded me of a joke I was thinking about using, and then after he brought that up, I thought, yeah, that'll actually work. But you know, have you ever been to a hillbilly's funeral, and the last thing he says right before he dies is, hey, y'all, watch this, right? And so that would be okay. Check this out. This is important to pay attention to. Joel is trying to prepare the nation for some tough times that are headed immediately their way. Now, here's one of the things that I think that may be different than what we teach today. We try to get somebody into the watery grave of baptism so that they change their life, they've repented, they're wanting to start that walk with Christ, and we're trying to reassure them that life is going to be so much better now that you're in Jesus Christ. Right? Isn't that what we tell them? But are we always accurate in that? Is life going to be better? Maybe. Maybe not. But that's not what we're here for. He died to save us. We live to serve him. And that may be easy at times, and it may be very hard and difficult. But either way, y'all check this out. Watch this. Pay attention to this. And that's what Joel is telling them that they need to do. As far as this prophet goes, especially as we get into chapter 2, he will share with us a glimpse of the coming of the church and bring it in to the New Testament age or the New Testament era or the dispensation. The message that Peter will preach on the day of Pentecost. Now, anyone who's been around me perhaps any time at all, especially in times where we may get to witness something that's pretty neat to see or you haven't quite seen before, I use a line that I heard from my dad years ago when it comes to something that's hard to believe. I'll say, I've been to 7 world fairs and I've never seen anything like it. Now, that's not necessarily true. I haven't been to 7 world fairs, and maybe I've seen things exactly like it. But the point we're trying to get across is that we're seeing something here that's pretty neat. That's pretty spectacular. And Joel says, has anything like this ever happened before? Or has it happened to anyone that you know of? Has anybody ever told you a story like this? Have you ever heard of anything that's coming like this destruction that's coming your way? Now, what really Joel is saying is strap on your seatbelt because we're going for a ride. And he wants for us to pay attention. And so that reminded me, and I've told this story at least once in the past, but being that we've just come off of our trip to Tennessee, it reminded me of it again, and we talk about it every year when we're down there. But it was about the year that Rick was driving the minibus and decided to take us on a tour of the Henderson Chapel Road. And anybody that knows that and how it runs back up through the hills and mountains and everything there behind the hotel knows that it's winding and switchbacks. And I was in the front of the bus, and the guys who were in the back of the bus, I mean, the switchbacks were so sharp that I was actually behind them, those that were in front. That's how snake winding it was. But as we're getting going through, and the problem with that is the part of the mountains that I don't like is the height, right? How high you get at times. And then you add, you know, that it's like snowing, you know, and then in Tennessee, you know, if they just get an eighth of an inch of snow, they shut down everything. But did that stop us from going up the side of a mountain? No. Right? And so we decide we're going to do that. And then so we're out there, and of course, I don't know why, but I picked a seat. Normally, I sit in the aisle. That way I can look back and talk to everybody. But for some reason that night, I pick a seat on the outside by the window. And then, of course, you know, we are in Tennessee. It's a lot like Kentucky. You know, there's not guardrails on every curve that hangs over the side of the mountain. And, of course, Rick's driving. And, you know, I think he is like flooring it through this. I mean, it's like 7 or 8 miles an hour around these curves. And I'm like, oh, you know, hang on. And I just can't help but keep thinking, you know, hey, you know what? If we're not careful, we're going to get a real good look, something we've never seen before. And that's exactly what we see here with Joel. And Joel is telling us, check this out. Pay attention. All right. And then to add insult to injury, my wife starts to giggle. Okay? You know how that goes. And actually, I was watching something the other day, some TV program. I don't know if it was like Tiny House Nation or something. But so the wife there, when things go bad, she'd start to giggle. And I was just like, that is exactly. And I said, and that just makes, and you could tell the husband, he felt the same way I do when that happens. Not happy. Okay, and so the wife starts to giggle, Tam starts to giggle, and so then, you know, all that does is make me, you know, more angry, upset. I'm just more fearful, scared. Anyway, but as you can tell, and we're all here, Rick got us down the side of the mountain. Okay, fine, and back to, but without, you know, grabbing white knuckle on it, you know, and so be ready for the ride. Things are going to happen. Prophet Joel says, check this out. But the Apostle Paul, I believe, raised the stakes in the New Testament. And we see that a lot from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where the stakes have been raised just a little. I think as we look here, we see the prophet Joel saying, check this out. The Apostle Paul says, live this out. Prophet says, check this out. Apostle says, live this out. Is there a difference in that? Yeah, I think there's a big difference in you just examining something and then you doing something about it. And that's what really saying is, check this out. and make it happen. Make it happen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 says this, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or if I remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So what Paul's saying is, whether I'm with you or not, I'm going to hear about you, because you know what? You know why? People like to talk. And we'd be far better off, church, to give them good things to talk about rather than bad things to talk about. People are going to talk. Let's give them good things to talk about. And he says, I'd like to hear that whether I'm there or whether I'm not, I'd like to hear those good things that are being done here. That you're standing firm with one, striving together in the same mind for the faith of the gospel. Joel wanted for the Israelites to check this out because his message to them is that God is Lord. Why does God want for us to check it out? He says to test the spirits to see whether these things are so. He wants for us to know. It's not a blind faith that we use. Right? It's not given without instruction. It's not given without guidance. But he wants for us to put our faith into action, to understand that God is Lord. So what happens when you see, or when you hear, or when you're involved in something spectacular that has happened? What happens about that? Whether it's taking a ride down the side of a mountain, right? And everything turns out okay, you still want to tell everybody about it, don't you? You still want to talk about it, and that's what it's about. Check this out. Check this out. Not only listen carefully and check this out, but pass the word. Pass the word. When the Apostle Peter preached that first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he quoted much of the prophet Joel here in chapter 2 of his book. Either way, they're telling us now that something great has happened, and you better go tell others about it. And we should be ready in every way to let others know about the hope that is within us. So listen carefully. Check this out. Now pass it on. Pass the word. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." That means to set him apart, to make him something special. "As Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and with reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile you or revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." So what do we find out throughout Scripture? We find it in several different little key, catchy ways. Share the gospel. Spread the word. Sow the seed. Preach unto them Jesus. But do it in such a way that is with gentleness and reverence, Peter says. Shoving the saving message of Jesus down someone's throat has never saved anyone. Has anyone been saved because the word of God's been shoved down your throat? No. Because if you've only done something because somebody made you do it, then I have to question your salvation then anyway. Jesus saved us by using love. And we share the saving message with love. The thing we need to keep in mind is that we do want what is best for those that are lost. Amen? We do want what is best. That's one part of a definition of what real love is desiring the best for someone. What do we want for all mankind? I think the same thing that God wanted. I hope that's our thoughts. God wants for all to come to repentance. God wants for all to be saved. So by no means should we do anything that will obstruct that from happening? Yes, there is no doubt that we all need faith. There is no doubt that we all hang to and cling to hope. And we should, for now. But there's not a one of us that can get by this earth without love. And we can definitely not make it beyond this point, this life, without love. That's why we are told to remember, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that boy, faith is good. Hope is good. But the greatest of these is love. As Paul told the Ephesian church, preach the truth, but do it with love in mind. Preach the truth. In other words, let them have it as lovingly as you can. Don't hold anything back. But be kind and gentle, compassionate, and loving. Joel wanted for the Israelites to pass the word along because his message to them, as far as the repentance needed and the destruction that was coming, was immediate. It was immediately coming. He was warning them, get ready now! Get ready now! It is coming! It's on its way! If they were able to pull up their cell phones then, they would have looked at the radar and they would have saw a black cloud coming and thinking that it was rain coming, and it wasn't. It was locusts coming to destroy their land. Judgment was coming. And yet, you know what makes it a little more difficult to pass the word of salvation on today? Is the end coming? Sure is. But we don't know when. We don't know when. Joel was able to say, it's coming immediately now. Straighten up. And hopefully the people would repent. We can preach the same thing today. But we might be given another 50 years. We might be given another 500 years. We don't know. And it might be another 5 seconds. And so the message now needs to be listened to very carefully. If you have any questions, come check it out. We'd be happy to do that with you because we're going to do our best to pass along the word so that you can be saved. And that's what our goal as Christians today should be, is to help bring those lost and unrepented souls to Jesus Christ. That's what we learn in the book of Joel. And as we carry that out, I believe very applicable to us today as well. Joel, in this short book, was telling, or maybe even reminding, all that heard in the land that day, God is Lord. God is Lord. Those people, 825 years before Christ, they needed to know that He is Lord. Those during the lifetime of Christ needed to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And those listening today, whether you're in these pews or around the world, wherever it may be, you need to know that Jesus is Lord. And in case you forget, when you walk out those doors today, He's still Lord. Listen to His message. Check it out. Obey it. Tell it to others. For remember, He is Lord. There's a plan of salvation that's given to us in Scripture that tells us we need to be obedient to Him. It starts with our belief. We need to believe who Jesus Christ is, that He is the Son of God. John 8:24 says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. But you need to repent. Just as Jesus told the story of those people that were had the wall fall on them, it was basically like he was looking at the day's events, and He says, well, everybody knows that wall that fell on those people. Do you think they were bigger sinners than anyone else? He says, I'm telling you this. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You'll either have a wall fall on you, you may be killed in a car wreck, you might live to a great old age and die in your bed. But I guarantee you, it's coming. We may not know when, we may not know how, but it's coming. And that's why repentance is necessary for everyone. Whether you're in Joel's day, you're in Jesus' day, or today. Repent. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before God or before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And the next verse goes on to say, if you fail to do that, then he won't confess us. And then we need to be immersed, be baptized into Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. For what reason? Why do we do all this? So that we can live with him one day. So that he will give us that crown of righteousness that we gain that day when we enter into those gates with him. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Will you stand with us and sing as we sing our song of invitation here this morning? That he is Lord. Every knee will bend, every tongue will confess. I just suggest we do it while we can still praise him.